I was interested when you told me about the tattoo of the in a Chinese hell, where some lady gives you a bowl of
A woman
soup.
giving you a soup.
Yeah, and you forget your past life when you reincarnate because of that. So, do you believe in reincarnation, donkey? Because
Oh,
yeah,
is that
because yeah.
you
No,
see?
because like your beliefs aren't like the traditional beliefs, right? So that's why I was curious. Like, do you believe in reincarnation or anything like that?
Probably so. I wouldn't say no, but I wouldn't say yes as well. But there was this instance that when I was working with horses, my very first horse, named Rabbit, the moment I saw him, I felt a sort of an affinity with him. And I took a picture of him, and then I compare it to a dog that I used to have. And my dog passed away. So when I saw that horse, and I realized that that was the same familiarity, like it was the same feeling. So that kind of like solidifies a sort of evidence that these stuff do happen. Maybe it's just me, you know, like I'm overthinking it because of the same familiarity that I feel with this animal. But you know, you can't deny stuff like that at times when it just hits you. And when it comes to reincarnation, it's a bit hard for me to put a finger on it because it, as much as I'm doing this, I have my own beliefs and my own point of view on this, but it's not something that I have solid evidence to put it or like solid experience to say that, yeah, you know, I've been to this. But based on other stuff like talk about ghosts or spirituality, magic and all that kind of stuff, I have my experience and I can share and I can vouch for it. But when it comes to incarnation, it's a little bit harder for me to say, yeah, you know, it is there, you know, but I just have to respect it for what it is. But yeah, until I have like solid evidence, then I can say whether I can have my own point of view on it, you know.
But okay, so the thing about reincarnation I don't understand, you know, like, so what's the deal with reincarnation? Am I right? But jokes aside, the thing is, like, what I don't get, like, you're supposed to forget or get your past life's memories and everything erased and then reincarnate and live as another person, right? Like a new person. You're the same person, but you don't have any memories or any experience of your past life.
Okay, now I remember. Okay, I think following up your question, I think I would be more inclined towards the I believe side because I think there was this time that I was talking to a friend in terms of lifetimes, like all of us are souls. Like we don't have we have no what do you call that? There's no
Body.
construct. Yeah, we there's no construct at all to us. We are all just souls. Like imagine there's this ball of energy that we can't see, like how batteries and electricity, that kind of stuff. We're just energies. So these are what souls are. So every soul has a amount of lifetimes that we have to go through. In terms of myself, the closest experience that I can share in terms of on this topic is that I know my past, I was a female. And yeah, there were times that I dreamt of myself in that kind of scenario where I was a girl. And maybe that's why, like, in this lifetime, like, there are certain lessons that I have to learn. And this is the probability of reincarnation is for us to learn certain aspects of life and lessons itself. Because if you put it out, and view things on a different objective. Human lives are very small and it's very short. You know, like 100 years in the universe is just like, you know, a flick of a thumb kind of thing. So every time we go through a certain reincarnation. Like, there's something for us to learn, or something for us to understand. And, like, or certain people that come to you, like, okay, the Taiwanese ex that I had, why I was so attached to her was because there was this moment that when I saw her, there was no sense of stranger at all. When I saw her, the feeling that I had was something that really blew my mind. It was like I knew her all this while, and I finally found her. You know, so it's like I can't deny that kind of feelings, because this kind of things, you can't fake it, or you can't construct it for yourself to feel that way. It is something that's very natural. And that's when I come to believe that, in the past, in certain aspects of my lifetime back then, that I've met this person and we were like someone together. And then I've been looking for this person all this while, and I finally found her. But alas, you know, in this lifetime, we're just not meant to be, because it was the wrong time. But I finally found her, you know, that kind of thing. So in that aspect, like, I believe in reincarnation for aspects like that. And that's the only logical explanation I can think of based on my own personal experiences. But it might not be true, because, you know, like you said, like, we can't remember shit and we're meant to forget shit and everything. But yeah, my beliefs are a little bit mixed with, like, my conditioning, my upbringing conditioning, and what I personally believe. And it's my own constructed path. So it's a little bit different from other people's point of view on the whole reincarnation thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting to think about, right? But a while ago, I saw these videos on Buddhist beliefs and Buddhist culture. So basically, in Buddhism, the belief is life is just suffering. Okay, life is suffering, and the point of your life is not to live. It's to, okay, so to explain this, I have to go back a bit. So in Buddhism, apparently the belief is that every time, or when a person dies, they have a lot of unfinished things they have to do, or anguishes and those things when you die and you regret something. Yeah, a lot of regrets and stuff. So when someone dies, they reincarnate, and they keep reincarnating, and people will keep reincarnating until the point when they have no regrets, and until the point where they have reached to a certain point where they have no wants from life anymore. And at that point, they will reach nirvana. And reaching nirvana means not to suffer anymore. And not, and that also means not to exist anymore. So
yeah,
the point of Buddhism is to not exist, because they believe that life is just a constant cycle of suffering and experience and getting through all these things. And to get away from all that, you need to sacrifice your want. That's the thing. You can't have any wants. The more a person wants, the more they will suffer. And if a person keeps wanting, if there's no end to their desire, they will never reach nirvana. And they will just keep reincarnating and going through the cycle of suffering. So if they reach nirvana. But in Buddhist culture, in their beliefs, not a lot of people have reached nirvana. Because they have the Buddhas, and apparently these Buddhas, they believe to be the closest to nirvana, or someone who's the closest to reaching nirvana. So, and there hasn't been a lot of Buddhas, but I think there's one in every generation or something. So yeah. Apparently, according to them, people keep reincarnating, and very few people can achieve that point of nirvana when they will have no more wants in life, and they won't, yeah, and they can let go and let go of this cycle of suffering.
Yeah, I think in Islam, there is a similar thing. Like, you should be happy with what you have, because if you can't do that, then you won't be able to find happiness. Because as humans, like, no matter how much we are given, it's not enough. We always be wanting something more. Even like for a brief period, we're happy. Like the next day or the next month, we'll be like, okay, I need this new thing. And and that's why you can't be happy, because you're always chasing for something you don't have without utilizing what you actually have. And in Islam, like, it tells you to, you know, like, look into yourself, look within, and whatever you have, like, even if it's not enough, you try to satisfy yourself with it, or be like, okay, whatever I have, I'll make good of it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just like, in Islam it does say that, but the whole point of Buddhism is that. So I just found that to be interesting, because their point is not to be satisfied with what you have. The point of Buddhism is to not have anything and not want anything. So the original Buddha who reached Nirvana, like, he used to be a prince, right? Prince Gautama. So when he saw the suffering of the people in his kingdom, he, like, forsake his kingdom. Like, he left home, went into forest, and he just meditated. And I mean, according to Buddhism, he didn't eat for, like, how many years was it? I forgot, but it was like many years, to the point where he had nothing. And he didn't even have any clothes on him except for, like, one robe, I think. But yeah, to the point where he didn't want nothing. He didn't even eat food. All he did was meditate and, you know, get to a point where he had no desires, no wants, and hence no suffering. And that's how he reasoned around it. So I think that's just, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I just found that interesting, like, that thing of reincarnation. I mean, that makes sense a bit to me. But when I think about when you have no memories, like, if you have no memories when you reincarnate, then aren't you in a way just destined to
suffer?
Yeah, destined to, like, repeat the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah, so, I wanted to have that same point, because we as human, we learn from our mistakes. Like, be it one mistake or 10 mistakes, we learn from, you know, experiments and mistakes. So if we, at the end, forget what we have learned, we are doomed to repeat those same mistakes again in a loop or in a circle in which we will keep on repeating it. And even when we realize it's late, and then again, reincarnation. So that kind of puts it.
So that probably puts the point of real reawakening and spiritual awakening to sense, no?
Yeah. I mean, like, as Donkey said, like, you know, in some of his dreams, he felt like, you know, some things. Maybe that could be it. Maybe, you know, when you're reincarnated, you're given a glimpse of what you have done or what your desires were in a vague way for you to figure out now in this life.
It is, because it's strange. Like, okay, there are times that back then when I was a little bit more involved with whatever I do, I look in the mirror and I recognize that this body, that this person that you guys are seeing is not me. And I recognize that, and it's a strange feeling. So yeah, and that is probably, like, as you guys said, like, that's why all religions, I believe, are all the same, because generally, like, all religions share the same end goal, and they have the same meaning and upbringing and all that kind of thing. It's just that people use it as a tool to control the masses and for power and all that kind of stuff. But in general, yeah, I mean, now that you guys are saying all this, you know, from different point of views, and it pretty much sums up to the same point that we're all sharing, but it's just interpreted in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are like loading, so I can't see you guys, so I don't know what's happening.
No, I'm like, I'm trying to digest, you know, like, I'm trying to process what you said.
Because... I think, yeah, the vague things, like, I mean, if I were to interpret it in a way that is the cycle of suffering. Once you get your memory, once you don't remember your past life, that is the cycle of suffering again. If you remembered everything, you maybe wouldn't suffer as much, right? So,
yeah.
Well, not, and, maybe that's not true. Like, that's your think about it this way. Like, if you had a really bad life, let's say you became homeless, you had a terrible life, and you are now reincarnated, you are like 2 years old, you got your senses and you got your memories and you know how the world is, you wouldn't want to give life another shot. You'd be like, I'm jumping off again. I don't need this.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. So now you get like deja vus, you get dreams in which you get a glimpse of what you need to get to keep on going, to keep on trying.
That's what I'm saying. But you're saying it from the point of view that it is for our benefit because we would just want to kill ourselves if that happened. But from the thing I'm saying it's for our demerit, or like it's the test, it's the cycle. Because sure, but you know, someone at 2 years old and knowing everything, like, of course that's not going to happen, right? So even if someone did, I don't know, if would everyone kill themselves at that point? I don't know. I think people would try to do it differently at first. And if it doesn't work out in some way, because, bro, if you're 2 years old and if you know what you, like a whole past lifetime's worth of experiences and knowledge, then for sure there is a way for you to make it work for yourself, okay? For sure.
Bro, like, I think, like, whatever the scenario is, like, you know, for anybody to be rich, anybody to be successful, or even be, like, greedy or not being able to accomplish there, I think, regardless whether you make it or not, you wouldn't want to go through high school again. You wouldn't want to start your university again. It's just, it's not only jarring, it's, like, mentally... Like, even though you have done, you have passed, you have good grades, you wouldn't want to go through that again. It's just, like, you don't have that mental strength to pull that off, if you know that.
I'll just say, it's not that bad for all those isekai animes I saw, so, I mean, it's not... Okay, those guys don't reincarnate and like, oh, I'm gonna off myself now, okay? I'm just gonna commit, like, seppuku or something. They're like, oh shit, son.
I became a sucker for isekai animes. I don't know, bro. I think I have something wrong with me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem so bad for them, does it? No. Okay, they have a harem at 10 years old, okay? They like, bro. Like
3-4 wives, 3-4 beautiful women lining up to marry them and shit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you knew everything and you were like, yeah, this time I'm going to make it work, you would be a fucking isekai protagonist, an anime protagonist like that.
You know, there's this anime called How a Realist Hero or something. So this this guy applies our world's like battle strategy into this fantasy world, and now like 4 women wants to marry him.
Of course, like who wouldn't? Who the fuck wouldn't? Like, bro, you are single-handedly wiping out this fucking the whole world. Okay, you are the fucking Genghis Khan of this world now. Like, of course, women want to be you, men want to be with you, or whatever the saying is. But that's what I'm saying. It would be unfair. But I think the point is to like test people more. So you don't get all your memories. You just get those, like, if you are, like, committed,
yeah,
to getting those flashbacks, to doing those reawakening, and like really explore that part of yourself, maybe you can get to a point where you can, you know, like Donkey's experience, you won't get to an exact knowledge, an exact memory in your head of you've been with someone before, but you'll get that familiar feeling or that kind of feeling, whatever that is, you know? And eventually through that, you can eventually try to work it out to a point where you get reach nirvana or whatever, or at least get to some point, which would be, which would supposedly be better than your previous life, because you would still would have learned in some way. Maybe you don't have the memory, but you have the feeling or the instinct.
That's one important point.
The feeling is like only strong if you believe in it, right?
Donkey, so what were you gonna say?
Oh, there's this point that ties up both of your point of views, which is about the whole forgotten memories thing, right? There's one thing that a universal law that no religion can touch. There's something that the whole, no matter what religion it is, that cannot touch, is free will. So I guess that's the whole purpose of the whole reincarnation thing. Free will is the absolute, absolute in terms of living and everything. That's why control is like the most strongly desired thing that people want. So yeah, I totally forgot about this until I was like trying to piece both of you guys what you guys were talking about. Yeah, free will is the only thing that makes everything, you know, that makes sense in everything that whatever is happening, like about the whole reincarnation and why we lose memories and why we go through everything over and over again, is because of this whole free will thing. Like the universe, or no religion can control a person's free will at all.
You know what, like I kind of disagree on that, because I don't know if you remember this, but like in 2016, 2017, there was this debate of we are living in a simulation, or if we are, whether, you know, like the Earth or we are in a simulation or not. And I gave that thing a lot of thought, like, wait, are we? And the thing that came to me, like, jarring weirdly as fuck, that no matter what situation you are in, most of the time, realistically, you have like 3 to 4 options. Like any other RPG game, even like in life, you have like realistic 3 or 4 options, like whether I'm gonna go to university or whether I'm gonna work, I'm gonna give myself a year off, or I'm not gonna study anymore. Like regardless of what situation, like even what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, whatever the thing is, most of the time you end up with 3 or 4 options.
Yep, but the thing is, the free will comes in where they can't choose which options you want to choose. Because let's say, like, if you forget, like, what your past life was supposed to be, and there's a certain lesson for you to learn, let's say, in option A, but they can't make you choose, they can't force you to choose that option at all.
Yeah, but, you know, like, if you even do the maths, it's easy to get, like, you know, what is the probability of you choosing it. And regardless of whatever choice you choose, they know exactly what would happen at the end. Like, in which path you will find, let's say, nirvana, and which the other million paths you will not, and you will keep on suffering. So let's say if there is a God, and the God knows like the path that we have to take to get salvation, get to nirvana, and the God is just looking down on us and watching us suffer lifetime after lifetime until we have to like crawl ourselves into going to nirvana, or into actually getting those combinations right until we go to nirvana. Like, how would that make sense? Like, if God is somebody who's in my favor.
Well, the thing, I don't think there's, okay, what whatever I've been taught, right, is that whatever deities they are, none of them are in favor of anything. They are like guides. they live in a gray area. It's like tarot cards. So when I used to do tarot readings, I always have to tell people this, that tarot cards do not tell you what to do. Everything that the tarot card says are all gray areas. It's up to you for you to go and decide what you want to choose. So based on that logic that you were just saying, right, I'm not disagreeing with it, but it's like, okay, definitely there are certain paths for you to choose, like an RPG, like I said. But, you know, of course, this path, like, ask you to go and you can go to Nirvana, blah, blah, blah. But they can't make you choose this just for this purpose. And that's where the free will comes into play. So it's like you have to choose your own path. Like, example, like, okay, right now I'm here in Singapore. I'm working and I'm like stable and everything. I managed to build up all this myself. And in front of me, the only options for me to do is to like, oh, to improve myself further, blah, 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 blah. And these are my life choices, right? But these are the choices that comes to me naturally. But what if one day I just wake up and I just fuck it all and I just go overseas and just be a bum somewhere? And that is not part of the plan, kind of thing. Yeah, so that's what about. I think the whole testing will be to see, like, what will you choose? It doesn't matter like what lays afterwards, but it's what will you choose? So maybe like the first path you choose option C, which is the right one, and you have to choose option C, A, B. There's like a certain template that you have to follow. But what is the free will that makes you choose to direct yourself back to the path, you know, kind of thing? So I think that's where all the lessons or stuff like that lays in that. Like, it's not so much of a goal thing, it's more of the whole process, understanding the whole process. I would feel like understanding the process of decisions that you make based on your own free will rather than blindly following certain options that are presented to you. Just, you know, like how when you talk to people in society, like when you're working with them, and then they're always complaining, like, oh, I'm so tired, fuck this work and everything. And then when you ask them a simple question, why don't you change job? And then they're always, most of the time, they reply, I can't because of this and that, this and that. But, you know, all of us know that's a lie because there's always a choice for you to change to a better job. But the free will of these people makes them stay because they are afraid of losing that kind of security that, you know, the financial security they can have here, but not having the balls to go outside to try to make things better for them. Kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think it's also circumstances. Like, you're single, you have the option to, let's say, move out of Singapore tomorrow if you want, or within 6 months if you want. You can save up some money and you can leave the country. But like, maybe friends of your age or maybe your seniors of 4 or 5 years, they probably have a kid. They can't just leave the country if they want.
So exactly,
or leave the city even. Because, you know, the kid has to change school, the kid might not make new friends. There are so many variables that comes that you can't choose for yourself. You have to think for others.
Yep, exactly. Like, all this point, right, like, it's not something that I would disagree on or debate on, but it's more like, how to say it, like, I understand that everything in life itself is a contradiction. You know, you put it to this, look at it subjectively, it's pointless. We live to die. That doesn't make any fucking sense. So, like, based on that situation that you were presenting, like a person of family, so the question is, what if the person decides to fuck all that and just leave his family here and go on, you know? That is his free will to do it and not bound by any circumstances. And that is just a decision based on himself. I mean, has bad at his sounds, you know, because all this.
Yeah, even though you have the option, it's not like you're going to do it, because in your mind or the way your thought process is, that it doesn't make sense for you to do that. It's like out of character. It's like,
exactly.
You won't expect Naruto to kill Sasuke, even though probably Sasuke deserves to die.
What?
Like, because, you know, it's out of character.
I, We don't know. Wait, does Donkey, do you know? I don't know about Naruto.
Oh, you don't? No. Like, the thing is, like, you don't expect a good guy to turn out to be evil or do something bad. Because a good guy is supposed to do the good thing.
Yeah, but and I if, mean, I see your points, and I don't think it's, I don't think either one is contradicting each other. Like, because, yeah, no, no. Yeah, not, because yeah. You're, yeah, because you're, like, if, let's say we are in a simulation, then, I mean, fuck, I guess we are. We can't, nobody knows, okay? We can be in a fucking cycle of suffering, or we can be in a simulation, which could also be a cycle of suffering, and they would decide when you reach nirvana, you know? It depends on them. And eventually, when they decide, oh, okay, this player wins, and they're like, oh, woohoo, now get him out of here, or something like that. Or, yeah, but, yeah, free will is something you do have. And because, yeah, if you will have limited choices, sure. But even out of those limited choices, it's your will to choose, right? It's like a fucking exam question, like multiple questions. You will have four options, and you can choose any of them you want. Even though they are limited, it is your free will to choose some of choose any of them. Or just fuck off in the middle of the exam and just run out saying my pants on fire or whatever. I don't know. I mean, that's highly unlikely, but it is a will if you do it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
true. Yeah, so basically what we're both saying is it's like the different sides of the same coin kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just that there are certain points have, as we progress, we will come to this intersection where everything contradicts each other. Like, I don't know, I can't think of a scenario at the moment, but like, what if this free will like brings us to nowhere, and what's the whole purpose of this? And you know, what if the indeed everything is a simulation, and then it just doesn't make any sense at all, and every decision you made along the way just contradicts everything that you're supposed to do and whatever you believed in, you know, stuff like that. It's a whole fucked up topic, another whole fucked up topic.
What is life? What does it mean? Does it even mean anything?
What's my purpose in life? Why am I alive, right?
Yeah, why am I here? Like, it's like, yeah, I just find it fascinating to just explore all these different ideas, because for me, it does, I mean, nothing really makes sense, you know, like, nothing really means anything. So for me, it's like, when I see interesting, like, viewpoints and, like, ideas and beliefs, it's like, yeah, it's fascinating for me to think in a certain way, you know, not just because, not because I want it to make sense, because ultimately, if you think something hard enough and through long enough, nothing will make sense at the end of everything, okay? So, yeah, it's just fascinating to think of these different ideas. But, nothing yeah. Yeah,
that's why it's like whenever like people ask me for advice, like example, if Mr. Torres here asks, like, oh, okay, because I'm older, and what would I advise him to do in a certain aspect of his life? Like, let's say if he's studying something that his parents want him to do, but deep down he wants to be a musician. Definitely, I would always recommend doing the musician thing. Like, go for it, man, because it's something that you want, and time is something that is one of the only things that doesn't play in our favor at all. Like, there's nothing we can do to control this shit, but we can always control our decisions.
But another thing, like, sorry to interrupt you, I kind of think it's the opposite, because let's say, like, I like watching anime or I like playing games. If I turn any of these hobbies of mine into a profession, I wouldn't be enjoying it as much as I do. Because if I were to, like, become a gamer or become a mangaka or, like, or anime YouTuber, I'll be doing it as a job, because I have to review that anime, or I have to, you know, like, draw and make a manga within the deadline. It will drain me to a point that I'm not enjoying that thing. The very point, thing bro. That enjoyed me or that made me happy is now draining me.
That's a beautiful point.
Why doing something good?
Because, okay, that's the thing. That's where a lot of people come out from nowhere doing whatever they do for a living is because they managed to find that, you know, that middle ground. I'm serious. I'm not even joking. Like, okay, like you look at me and you know that I do art, and you know, you identify me as a person who's like donkey, like, you know, like I do music and occult and everything, but my full-time profession is a manufacturing manager. And that's not something that I do at all. But I managed to find that ground where I can balance my profession in art into this. And hence how I'm sustaining like whatever I need as a person in terms of a job wise, and I'm still fulfilling myself as an artist. So that's the beauty of all these things. If you love something enough, you'll find a way to, you know, it's all about like what you really want to do. And that's what I always recommend people, like, what do you want to do? What are you hoping to get out of this? Do you want, you know, naturally everything, you have to put work in. Like, none of us can deny that. Whatever we do, we have to put in work for things to work out. I mean, opportunities don't just drop from the sky.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah, so that is the beauty of it. Like, you know, my friend, the one I'm staying with, he's been into IT. Like, he started like liking IT stuff, so he got into this line, and now he's working for the government, and he's barely even working. He just attends there to show his presence. He's like a troubleshooter for the government side. So, you know, I realized that, oh wow, you know, that actually can work. So naturally, I think that ultimately, yeah, I mean, I agree what you said, because I don't mix in. That's why I didn't pursue myself as a freelance artist that much, because it took away what I love. And I didn't want to play music professionally, because music is the only outlet that enables me to be liberated in terms of expression. So I totally get what you mean. So yeah, I think it's really based on what you are looking for in terms of what you like and what you're capable of doing, and find that value that only you have and no other people have, and to bring it out. And that's where people can really pay you for it.
Like ever since a kid, like I used to like envy people who had a like dream or a passion, because like when I was I didn't knew any good, I wanted to be a cricketer or a footballer, like a athlete. But when I grew up enough to know that, okay, I can't be an athlete because not only I have the physique or the talent, so it's not possible. I've always like, you know, tried to think of what will I do with my life? Who will I be? And this thing, like, if I pursue to becoming a content creator or a gamer or, like, some of these things that I really enjoy, I'll kill this thing because maybe I'm not that into it. Or maybe when I make it a profession, it will kill me. Or that hobby or that So if that's the case, I can't do what I love because that will break me. And I can't do anything which I hate. Let's say I'm learning programming, I'm learning IT, and I don't like it. Or I used to, but I just grew hatred towards it because I'm bad at it. And when I couldn't, like, you know, continue doing it. So now, like, what do? Because I can't do something that I hate for the rest of my life.
So,
and doing something that I love will probably make me hate that thing that I love.
Okay,
then
so since,
what's the
since
point of it?
Now you're saying this. So there's this two things one of it is when I got into tattoos, my teacher told me something that I really believed in, which is follow your passion and money will eventually come to you. And that is something that's proven, and I totally believe in it. And
yeah,
I thought, okay, that aside. And second thing is, based on a situation, there's a question that I would like to ask. Since you're looking at what is already there, like in terms of idea and anime and everything, and you can't find anything you like, so what is stopping you from creating something for yourself? Like, since there's nothing out there that's already been existing, there's nothing for you. So what is stopping you from creating something that only you, you know, that blend all this thing together?
I'm missing the passion part, because everybody needs money. At the end of the day, you need to feed yourself. You need to pay rent. So I know I got to do something that provides me money. And the issue with it, because I'm looking at it at a money perspective rather than something I want to pursue. Something is, that's my passion. Like Talk Cop, like you guys are not earning anything, but you guys enjoy doing it. If it works out that you guys start earning, then that's a bonus. If it becomes full-time because you guys are good at it, that's another bonus. You guys can stop doing whatever job you're doing and you can focus fully on Talk Cock, because this is your passion. For me, I don't have that passion or that time, or not time is the wrong thing to say, but I don't have that passion or anything to grind towards and hope that I can make it a profession, because I'm constantly in need of money. So I gotta keep on working on something that I don't like. And that endless loop is not letting me even pursue or see what I'll enjoy or have a passion towards.
So, okay, what have you done to step out from this loop?
I got depressed as fuck.
Yeah, yes. I totally can relate. That's why I'm outside here now, you know?
What the fuck?
Yeah, because...
Like, for me, at times, it made sense to fucking die. Like, it's all fucking meaningless.
Exactly, like... Okay, there was this day that I just bought a toy, and I showed it to TK, and I really liked it a lot. And at my age, like, for the past few years, I stopped creativity, and it totally died out. But when I saw the toy, it re-sparked a certain feelings in me. And that's what made me really pull me out the loop a little bit, because I was staying at home every day, and it's not healthy. You know that feeling, it's just not healthy at all. And I had to pull myself out and to get things moving and to work properly and everything. So I would think, I'm not saying that, you know, this is a way to do it, but I think there's a certain way that we have to treat ourselves in terms of like being harsh on ourselves, to like force ourselves to do something that we don't like at times in order for us to see something that we never did. So maybe if like you like animes and stuff, so like what if there are like companies around your area that do Uber Eats around companies that releases anime marketing and all that kind of stuff, or cos fairs or anything that's around that area. While you're working at it, you can get to know people around there. And in terms of like business wise, definitely opportunity and luck plays a huge part. Like, for all you know, what if tomorrow you go out and you met this guy who's working hard on an anime, and then you just happen to see and you ask him about it, and then, you know, he was like, bro, I'm really stuck. And he just randomly asked you for an opinion and you gave it to him. And something happened from there. Yeah, because like, I mean, you look at it in this way, like metal artists, like metal music artists manage to like make a living out of doing metal artworks while being a musician. So based on that concept, I really believe there's always a market for us out there, but it's only whether we see it or not. Like, for all you know, like, I never knew like there was a market for like occult artworks as well. And I had to really dive into it to study the whole occult and the whole history and really work with this whole thing that where my passion was. And then eventually like, oh, things just happened to be there, you know? So like, as you said, like maybe because you haven't really found that thing that really drives you to it yet. So that's why you're just a little bit blindsided at the moment and just living, surviving, you know, just surviving.
Yeah,
that, speaking of that, that kind of reminds me of like myself and with communication, the course I'm studying, because like I never knew that I would be doing or studying a course like this, right? Like what, journalism, media, or communication? I never thought I would do that. And like, it was never a passion for me or even a liking for me. Like, it was just outside of my mind, something I didn't know existed, right? So, And it was weird because, and you remember this, Fahim, like we went to that seminar with the Malaysian universities came to like recruit students. And we just went there on a whim, like, let's see what happens.
Our CGPA wasn't good enough for any other subject than communications.
Yeah.
Was the case. Like, that's the only course we could take with our CGPA at your university. So that's what we ended up applying for.
Yeah, my GPA was so fucked that this was the only course I could do. And
it's our CGPA, bro. Like, you know.
I mean, but you ended up not doing this, right? You ended up going to Canada. So it's different for you in that way. But for me, like, I applied to Canada as well, and I got, I applied to Canada for a student visa, and I got rejected twice. So the third time, I was like, fuck this, I ain't gonna apply anymore. Like, fuck this, I can't be bothered. And then, like, I only had that thing, right? That one offer letter for a communication degree at the university which I'm studying in now.
Yes.
And I didn't, that was the only thing I had then, but I didn't know if I would enjoy it or whatever. It just seemed interesting. Okay, that's the only thing it seemed. At best, it seemed interesting, like communication. So, I wonder how that is. So that's that, and that was the only, basically one of the only choices left for me is either do that, come to Malaysia, or just stay in back in my country and do God knows what. You know, I don't know what would have happened if I stayed back there, because I had nothing else going for me. So I decided to come over here. Yeah,
for us it was like do or die. I think we have to leave Bangladesh. Or basically, like, you know, you would see your life wither away. You know, you would be this shell of a person just living for the sake of living.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why I had to. In my mind, I had to do it. Okay, I had to do it. And I had no idea at that moment, right?
Oh, that's all. You left it with a comma, and we're
I thought a big pause is coming, and he's gonna, you know, tear up or something. Like, I cannot hold it in.
No, but in all honesty, right? Like, coming from a person at where my age is, the best advice that I could give is, whatever you guys want to do, like, to fail, to just try something and everything. You know, just don't be afraid of failing. Because after 30, you really don't have that much space to fail anymore. One thing is because physically, your body can't keep up what you used to do when you're in 20s. Like in terms of work mentality, work ethics and everything. Everything changes once you hit 30. So it's like 20 plus is really the best age for you to really bump around and whatever the fuck you want to do. Like, you know, you try something and fail. It doesn't matter. You know, you always have that energy to get back up to try something new again because your mental health is still there. But really, once you hit over 30, you realize how much time is really slowing down for you when in actuality, like, time is actually moving a lot faster for you. So that's what I would recommend. Like, you guys, like, whatever you guys want to do, like, you know, just don't be afraid to try it, you know, to give it something, you know, because if you will never know if something, like what DK was saying about this, like, you guys never know it until you guys try it. And opportunities don't come if you don't try it as well. Like, you can't be sitting at home masturbating to, like, Japanese porn and expect, like, a manga artist to come up to you, like, hey, want to be an artist with me or not?
Do you got a camera in my room? Like, how did you know?
Hey.
Wait, so what I was saying about that, I came here and then, I came here and then I actually, when I started taking the classes, like, I actually found myself very interested in the courses and the, like, things they were teaching in this course, right? And it resonated with me as well. Like, it's not something that I want to do on my off time. like enjoy manga, like enjoy anime or games or movies or whatever. It's not something like that, right? But it's something that resonates with me. It's something that piques my interest. And when they teach about like people, so this degree, so communication is basically about people, okay? It's about communicating with people. It's about seeing how people perceive things, different people perceive in different way, and how to approach that, and what could be the reason or cause, you know? There's also debate, argument, and a lot of things, but it's basically mainly people-oriented. And for someone like me, who was always an introvert, who didn't really care, or I wasn't interested in people, or like talking to people or interacting them with them in any way. Oddly, very ironically, I found this fucking thing very interesting, because when it comes to shove, like, it's actually very fucking interesting to think about all these things. Like, how do people actually operate? How can you use that in your day-to-day basis, you know? Maybe business, maybe work life, maybe student life, maybe social life even. So all this I found really interesting. And like now, I don't hate what I'm doing, because it also turns out I'm actually apparently good at it, because I'm one of the top ones in my class. Right, so I'm like, oh.
Trying to flex on us, huh?
I mean, it's a fact.
Bro, you're super in there. I'm the best one in the class.
Bro, my GPA... All I heard
was, oh, I'm a nerd now. I used to be a, like, C student. Now I'm a nerd. I'm the best.
No,
I'm the best. Way to rub it in.
That's the thing. Just imagine my fucking GPA was so garbage that I couldn't get anything else except this. And now, like, I'm one of the, like, top 3-5 students in my class. And I don't even fucking study for it. Okay, is this whatever during the lecture they do? And I just fucking submit assignments and I don't even study at all.
I don't want to clown on your major, but you're learning communication, which me and Donkey are doing just perfectly without taking a course. So I don't know what you're on about.
Basically. Well, that's what I don't know. Well, you're learning IT, and I can fucking jack off the hentai all I want without even needing to do all that. So
I can get guess your who's IP the address.
Guess who's the bigger clowny?
Bruh, fuck you guys, I draw all the hentai that you guys do.
You draw? I get you learn drawing, you fucking weeb? We don't even need to draw. We just get all the shit off the internet for free.
No, fuck you. I'm one of those creators. I can draw on boobs for you right now, and I didn't even have to learn it, bro. No, for real. I didn't go to any I didn't graduate from any school.
Wait, but have you ever like drawn porn for yourself? And
what?
No. Yeah, like you know, I always wonder, like hentai artists make hentai, right? But yeah. Do they ever use their own material?
You're onto something. So let's say Tashrif has a waifu, and he just tells you like, bro, can you get me what I need?
Bro, he's done that before. He's done that for his friend before. Okay, like, hey, don't tell me a story. Yeah, you did.
What did I do?
Tell me a story like in your fucking. Primary or middle school, one of your friends told you to draw some girl he had a crush on or something, and God knows what he did with it when he got back.
He gave it to the girl and said that he drew it.
The girl.
Yeah. So,
okay, but we're getting off point. Did you or did you not masturbate to your own hand?
No. Fuck no, what the fuck? Okay, it's weird because it feels very incest. You know, it just doesn't come to me.
Because I always wondered, okay? Because there's like actual professional hentai artists, but I've always wondered, do they ever use their own works to do the business?
Imagine for one panel, they like end up fapping like 50 times because like, oh my God, I drew this boob so good, I gotta fap at it.
When you're drawing it, you view it differently. Like, okay, you guys view it as a female, but when we're drawing it, we view it as individual anatomy, like the boobs and everything. And so we view it in parts and not really as a female, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's only when you're drawing it, right? If it's someone else's drawing, you're fine with whatever.
Yeah, it's different. It's different in that way. It's like you're fucking your girlfriend, and your girlfriend is someone else's daughter. You know, it's not your daughter.
That is true, and that makes sense. But
does it ruin it for you? Like every time you, let's say, see an art, you try to figure out how they drew this, or like why did they make the mistake? Like, do you become like this perfectionist to try to like understand or try to find a fault in an art, or you just
not really find a fault? But I don't get turned on by hentai that much like anymore, like at this age. So I don't really, and as I progress in deeper into like understanding art itself, I don't really view it in that sense anymore. It's more like, oh, why and how? Like, every artist has a specific way of drawing people. And so it's interesting for me to understand, like, oh, this person has a very 80s style, but how did they make it into a modern way? Oh, so I studied their strokes and everything. Not that kind of strokes.
Before you said not that kind, I was thinking of the brush stroke, and then I was like, oh, damn.
He was thinking of another stroke. I can smell from him, although I can't see him, but I can smell it. Like, yeah.
Wait, so one last point on this I want to make, that I think the only person, now that you say that, it would be kind of like incest or whatever doing that to your art. Now that I think the only kind of person who would be able to do that with their own art is someone who's like super fucking narcissistic, right? Who's in love with themselves in a super narcissist way to maybe appreciate their work so much. They're like their own work. They're like so happy and so glad with it. They can't help themselves but to jerk off or whatever they want to do. Like, that's the only way I could see that. Be like a super fucking narcissistic person.
Yeah, that would make sense.
No, yeah, like for me, like I joke a lot about narcissistic people. Like, you know, like I'll say or talk in a manner that it would sound like, you know, I'm being this dude who knows it all or somewhat. So for me, I don't think so. That's the case. I think.
Are you a narcissist though?
No, it's just like I do
how
this
do you
bit.
Know?
I do how this do bit like where
how do you
I
know?
Like, you know,
how do you know,
I'll say something narcissistic which will make everybody laugh or make everybody feel weird, that will break the tension.
Yeah,
like,
but
I've
you're
never
doing it as a joke.
Before,
that's the difference.
But the way I started is saying parabunde. Right. It's just one of the to become good buddies.
No,
like you
bro,
break
like,
the ice.
Yeah, but we've talked about narcissists a lot on this show and how our hatred for them, okay? It's fine if someone does it as a joke and you can tell, okay? If a person is truly narcissistic, you will be able to tell, okay?
They have a very different mindset. They have a very different way of thinking because it's not like how we're thinking. Like when we tell jokes like from a point of view of a narcissistic, it's more like, you know, we are viewing them and trying to be that character, but a person who is one doesn't think that way because they are that person. So it's a little bit hard for us to be wired to think that way. Like
they don't have the self-awareness.
Yeah. Like
the annoying thing about them is like they think that they are the main character and everything revolves around them or everybody. Like I think that's the most annoying thing about like any person, that they'll be like, oh, you're doing this because you're fucking triggering me or this and that. Like, everything has to be revolving around them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the basic thing. But I mean, we've talked a lot about them, and narcissists come in many different shapes and forms, actually. Like, if you watch some of those episodes, you'll see our points on those. But yeah, that's the basic thing. Of course, everything revolves around them. That's the basics of a narcissist. But it can actually form and, like, show its ugly face in very different ways. And,
yep.
Yeah.
It's a lot more disgusting than what society actually portrays it to be, because there's a lot of whole underlying darkness to it. I wouldn't want to use the word darkness, but it's really disgusting. Like, we have met a few people, because me and TK have, like, posted on, like, those audio apps, right? So
yeah
we have met a lot of those people, and yeah. It's you will not believe that something okay, not someone, something like that exists. Like, for real. And my battery is running low.
Yeah, I think we're gonna end it you wouldn't wanna be around. It's not fun, okay? That's what we're gonna say. But I wanna end it, but before, like, that. So the whole thing I said with the communication thing, so I think, hopefully for you, I think, Fahim, there's also hopefully something out there that you haven't discovered yet. You know, it doesn't need to be a passion or something you enjoy, because anime, manga, YouTube, movies, this is something we enjoy. It's not necessarily a passion, because we don't have, we don't have the capacity or the, like, skill or talent to make those ourselves. We can't make anime. We can't make fucking games, you know, but it's something we enjoy, you know. But I think, yeah, and there's some, of course, the work you're doing, you need to do for a survival basis. But I hope you can find that something that's still missing that you haven't found. That it's not, it doesn't have to be your passion. It just has to be something you don't hate doing. Something that's even a little bit interesting that makes you not hate. Like, if you have to do that for the rest of your life, or you have to do that for some period of time as work or whatever, you can be like, oh, it's not that bad, actually, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. Let me put an example. Like, You can't draw anything but you like anime. So, but you want to make it into a work where you don't exhaust this. So why not you just be, like, a creative director on it, and you hire people to do the drawings? Yeah, stuff like that. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, you have to put yourself in a position of something.
Or be the salesman, you know? And by that, I mean work in the marketing department for anime company or something like that that distributes those anime, you know, work as a distributor or in the marketing department or in company that is like, it doesn't have creative work, you're still doing like executive work or like what bureaucratic work or whatever, but you're still selling those products that you yourself enjoy. So if you do that, I don't think it's that bad, you know, you're still pushing something, trying to sell something to other people that you yourself enjoy, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, or maybe publishing a Bangla anime. that might work, because anime is, like, really rising. Like, to my surprise, I'm quite amazed, because I just went to, like, CosFest in Singapore, like, on Saturday. Yeah. I went to take a look. Holy shit, the market is... The market for animation... It's really growing. It's really seeping into the society now, and I think, like, a lot of people are producing their own, like, stickers and everything. So what, for one sticker, I don't know how much it costs, but they're selling like $4 for one small sticker like that.
Yeah, they sell that shit at hiked, like 200% hiked price at those festivals, cosplay festivals. And I heard like Singapore has like huge festivals. Like, there's a big one.
Like Comic Cons, like.
AVA.
Yeah.
Yep. So like, you know, since I don't think, I'm not sure about Canada, but, you know, I don't think Canada is still that open up to all these festivals as well, but I don't doubt that Canada has a lot of people who are into this, but there's just no one leading the market to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can just try emailing people to bring in stuff like that. And, you know, okay, I understand finances is one thing that you don't have the money to bring in, but why not you be the bridge, the point of communication between you and Canada? You know, that doesn't take money. That's just take just that just takes up your time and some research and legwork, you know. So that's where you can contribute to doing something that you like to do without having that capital to start off something yet. Yeah, so yeah. And that brings you money, you know, so why not?
Like eventually down the road, you know. Because yeah, research and trying to like do the work before you've actually invested money is actually there's a lot of things you can do by just investing your time and like working on something without like getting to that point where you have to invest in it, you know. And speaking of anime, well, the fucking Chainsaw Man is popping off apparently.
Oh yeah, so, I'm watching that shit also.
Are you watching? I'm waiting for the season to end. I'm gonna binge.
It's quite good. It's quite interesting.
It's so hyped even before it came out from all the manga readers. So it better be. Man.
I think I read a bit of manga of Chainsaw Man. I don't think so. I finished the chapter, but I read some of it to get the plot idea. It's interesting, I'll say. I won't spoil anything. It's interesting, but I think there's too much hype, or maybe there's a lot of shit happens after chapter one. I don't know.
But the premise
is okay.
I heard like, the premise is ridiculous, but that's the strong point of the show. The strong point is apparently it's a really good story. The thing, because if you say premise, like Attack on Titan, when it first came out, it popped off because of its insane premise. It was really cool. But what kept it going all this long and really kept it at that popularity is because the story and the fucking characters and everything was so good. You know, so I've heard that the manga is just so good, the actual material, that it has the potential to reach that hype, that Attack on Titan hype.
I mean, that's like so far of what I read, it felt like a bit similar to Jujutsu Kaisen. So there's an institute where people slay demons and that kind of thing, like working in groups. So it felt like quite familiar to that. But sure, the story could be like really awesome. Because I think we all have been hearing about Chainsaw Man for about a year and a half. Like, constantly popping up here and there that Chainsaw Man is the new shit. So it would be nice to binge watch it, like entire season at once.
All these are all really, 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 really marketing, based on marketing. Like so much of it is really based on marketing. Sometimes the anime pops up, it has nothing to do with the anime itself. Like Jujutsu Kaisen, it's nice, but I don't find it anything new compared to the older animes. It's like a reused plot and, you know, you just modernize it in a different interpretation. But what makes it out there is because of all that marketing and all that merchandise and how they pull it off. So it's really a lot about repackaging a certain thing.
Yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer both have like decent to below decent story, but the animation and the hype
it's shonen anime or manga, so it's gonna be like the same kind of story and plot, like My Hero or like Naruto or like all of these shonen share similar plot lines and structure, but it's like within the show if they do something good. And for Demon Slayer, the fucking animation makes it for me. I enjoy it because of that. And Jujutsu Kaisen, the fight scenes and stuff. I probably enjoy Demon Slayer more because of the anime.
You know, if something along the lines of Steins Gate gets released now, I think that sort of anime will take over Attack on Titans like that. Because, like, as good as Attack on Titan is, I think Steins Gate is better.
No, but it's like a one-season show, and it's not a shonen. and most of the people will drop it in the first half, okay? So, like, so no matter how much... Yeah, you didn't watch Steins Gate, did you?
I dropped it. I didn't manage to sit through the first episode. Like, one of the pet peeves of mine is I can't stand, like...
I feel like, I dropped Steins Gate twice. Let me tell you this. I stopped twice. This TK, Parapunde, sits me down with another of my friend, roasts me for 4 hours for being dumb, and stupid, for not watching Steins Gate, and then they told me that I'm so dumb that it's below my comprehension to understand and appreciate this anime. So I went home being like, I don't fucking care what this is, I'm finishing this, and I'm gonna show these bitches that I'm smarter. And then I finished it and I called him and I was like, yeah, it was worth it. Okay, you are right.
I don't doubt that it's good. Like, I've read, like, reviews and everything, and the characters seem interesting enough, but I just can't sit through that whole thing. I don't deny that it's going
to
be good.
11 episodes you have to sit through. It's not, like, just one or two episodes. It's really slow, man.
Okay,
but the payoff is worth it. Like, the payoff is worth it. That's all.
I know it is, but TK knows the kind of shit I watch. Like, I watch a lot of comedy and a lot of things that really draw my attention, but you know, this kind of animations are the ones that you require a certain mood to really enjoy it. Like,
yeah
you can't just sit on it and just like, what?
You know, like for me, it's the same. I think Konosuba or any like funny sort of or comedic sort of anime or series, I kind of get hooked like easily. Like, I wanted to watch Gintama, but for some reason I felt like that those jokes will not work on me. Like,
you know
your
comprehension.
Yeah. No, like,
that's right. Right on the point. Right on the money. There we go. But yeah, comedy hooks you right away. It's fun. It's like brainless thing. Like, you can enjoy it anytime.
Gintama, man. Fucking love it, man. I fucking love Gintama.
Alright,
funny.
All right, Parapunda convinced me to watch Gintama. Why I should watch Gintama?
Because there's a character like you.
Tell me the character.
Wait, are you talking about are you talking about Gintama or like Shinpachi? Which one?
I'm talking about Hijikata.
Hijikata, the one of the police guys?
Yeah.
At least I got a good job.
Wait, who just blows up shit all the time?
No, that's the other guy. That's the blonde hair guy. Hijikata is the vice commander, the one who eats mayonnaise all the time.
Is he the gorilla one?
No, the gorilla is the commander. The other guy, the one right beside him, the one who's always smoking.
Oh, okay. Now I remember, because I watched it so long ago, and like I watched about 30 episodes, and then I didn't continue it.
It's just fucking funny. It's all slapstick jokes, and it's so ridiculous. It's so absurd, and I fucking love it, man. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, okay.
That's the kind of show you don't binge watch. Okay, I would say that.
I do. Fuck you. Go away.
No. You might, because you are a special person. You are
That's
very
what my
special.
Mommy said.
Yes. But I would say any normal person, like, it's not a type of show that the plot is not a plot heavy show. It's not like from start to finish, the story is like invested. It's not like that. It's a very episodic show. You just watch it for the comedy, for the jokes, for the kicks, right? So I think it's the type of show you watch a few episodes a day when you're feeling in the mood to just fucking laugh and let go and just have fun, you know? You watch a few episodes a day and you have fun with it. It's not something you, like, binge, I would say. Not a normal person, anyway.
I'm running below 20%.
Alright, I think we should end this podcast.
Yeah,
you know, what the fuck has it been to... More than 2 hours. Okay, I'm making this into a double episode. Fuck it. But
Yeah, you could trim it down. You could edit it and trim it down to an.
TK doesn't do that. TK doesn't give a shit.
That's not what a podcast is. And that's not what I do, okay? So I'm the director that's like, live it all in. At the end, I give all the work to the editor, like, yeah, here's 20 hours of footage. Do whatever you want with it.
Yep. TK is the parafunde. They're just like, oh, okay, whatever works, I'll make it work, full stop. Like the bare minimum for something to work, and he just takes it.
If you can get away with the bare minimum, why do anything more? Famous words from Gandhi, okay. But yeah, he wore the bare minimum. Hello, he wore the bare minimum, okay? It said it on his body. He didn't need to say it. But
I think he's a Libra as well, that's why.
I bet he is, okay? But anyway, it's way past my bedtime, so... and it's way past his bedtime, but I don't know if he's going to sleep, so...
Look at him, he's awake.
I think. Yeah, oh, it's 6. It's almost 6. Oh my god.
Oh. Exactly. Look how bright it is over here.
Yeah. So bright. But yeah, that's been a fucking episode. That's been 2 episodes for you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. But... yeah, thanks for my friend for joining, and he will hopefully show up in the future episodes as well.
Hopefully.
After you call him, like, you know, insulted him for not comprehending all that anime and shit, and you want him to do that again?
I think Donkey insulted me rather than TK. Like I came here for your love, Donkey, and... and what you did to me, I'm not gonna forget.
Why? Never mind. I can't say this. I'm in the male's toilet, so I can't really say stuff.
What the fuck? I mean, but Donkey will forget it because he's that age.
He forgets
now.
Everything. Yeah.
I forgot everything.
So, yeah. We'll leave Donkey to enjoy his private moment with other fellow males in the males washroom. But yeah, I think we'll end it there, folks. And yeah, see you guys next time. Bye bye.
I don't know.
Blah 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 blah.